Having a mentor and being a mentor can be a rewarding experience, but how do you get the most out of a mentoring relationship? We'll find out this hour from our guest, and we'll welcome your questions and suggestions too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, June 2nd. And please excuse my croaky voice. I guess I picked up a summer cold. Happy June to you. Our guest wrote a recent article on 5 mentor mistakes to avoid. We'll cover those this hour, and we would like to know from you what you think goes into a successful mentoring relationship. And I also thought it might be nice to thank a mentor, if you have one or had one. Who was one of your mentors and how did he or she help you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Catherine Reynolds Lewis, an award-winning journalist specialized in finance, work, and family. She has written for many publications, including The Washington Post, New York Times, and Money Magazine. Currently, she is a contributor for Fortune magazine, and she is the writer of the Fortune.com article, 5 Mentor Mistakes to Avoid. Good morning.
Good morning. A pleasure to be with you.
So why did you write this article?
Well, as a business journalist for the last couple of decades and focusing on workplace in the last 11 years, I'm always talking to executives and even people at the beginning of their careers about what makes them successful. And a mentor relationship often comes up as significant, whether it's in a specific decision around their careers or generally in shaping their careers. And it's such an important topic, and it resonates with so many of Fortune's readers that I thought it was worth a little deeper exploration.
Yeah, I agree. And just to lift the veil a little bit, the producer who had this idea is our brand new summer intern, Justin Williams, and he is a senior in college right now, and I'm pretty sure he has more than one mentor, and I'm pretty sure he's a mentor to others. He is quite bright. Does everyone need a mentor or more than one mentor?
Absolutely. Even the CEO of the top of the Fortune 100 needs a mentor and probably more than one mentor over the course of a career, because just as you can't possibly contain all the information you need for your career success, one person can't give you all the answers either. So you might need one mentor early out in your career and a different set of mentors later. You might need one mentor for a specific skills you're trying to develop in the workplace, but someone else to help you understand the organization or how the political dynamics play out, and then possibly a third mentor who's not directly in your area of work who can tell you a little bit about how your role in your job or your company is impacting the rest of the industry and give you a bit of a broader perspective. So absolutely you need more than one really at any given time, but especially over the course of your career, you're going to have lots of different people that you rely on for mentor advice.
Is this a formal thing, an official thing where I would say, for example, to someone I really admired in terms of radio talk show hosting, will you be my mentor?
Yes, it does sound a little old-fashioned to pop the question and ask someone outright to be your mentor. In some organizations, you will have a formal mentor program, and so that's a very official and structured way to have a mentor. But even if you're at an organization that has a mentor program, I would not stop there. You really need to seek out other relationships that are going to enrich and inform your decisions around your career. And for those more informal relationships, no, you absolutely do not need to ask outright, will you be my mentor? But you can have it in your mind and set up the relationship and structure your interactions in a very effective way, so that you are treating that person as if they were your formal mentor, respecting their time, coming with very targeted questions to every interaction, and really listening and paying attention to the signals that you get back. So as you're trying to cultivate a mentor, you're going to be asking permission. So obviously you ask, do you have time for coffee with me? You meet for that coffee. You have very specific ideas in mind of what you're hoping to get out of it. And at the end of the interaction, ask permission to follow up. And you're going to learn very quickly if that person does have time in their life for another relationship, a workplace relationship, where they can give advice and meet with you. So don't waste your time or theirs by failing to take that important step of asking, not necessarily, will you be my mentor, but is it okay if I follow up once I've taken your advice or once I've done these two things that you suggested?
Do you have a story about having a good mentor or a mentoring relationship?
Oh, well, absolutely. I've had many mentors over the course of my career. And for many of us, I think, you know, a parent was our first mentor. My mom is a very successful woman in her career, and so I've always relied on her advice. And my editor when I was a national correspondent for Newhouse News Service, Linda Fibick, was a very important mentor, not only in helping me to become a better journalist and a better writer, but she was there when the Washington Bureau closed, and she handled that whole process with such grace and professionalism. And we're good friends, as well as, you know, I do consider her a mentor. And I still rely on her for advice, even though it's been 6 years since we worked together and we're both in different areas. So I think just 3 weeks ago called her up about a story that I really wanted her input on.
That's great. And I hope our listeners will also share with us any special mentors in their lives or any questions you might have. Any suggestions you might have to get the most out of a mentoring relationship. We will talk more with our guest, Catherine Reynolds-Lewis, about this piece she wrote on the 5 mentor mistakes to avoid, and welcome your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the do's and don'ts of successful mentorship with a guest who wrote a recent article on 5 mentor mistakes to avoid, and we're welcoming your questions and your own experiences with mentoring. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Catherine Reynolds-Lewis, journalist who specializes in finance, work, and family. And she is the writer of the Fortune.com article, 5 Mentor Mistakes to Avoid. We do have callers already, but before we go to the phones, Catherine, let's talk a little bit about these 5 mistakes. How did you come up with these 5 mistakes?
Well, as always with my reporting process, I start by casting a very wide net. So I spoke with experts who have studied mentorship and who work with people seeking mentors, as well as just interviewing executives and people at all stages of their careers to supplement that expert advice with anecdotes. And these 5 categories kept coming up as the things you really don't want to do, the common mistakes that they see that people make when they're either seeking a mentor or working with a mentor.
Well, tell us the 5 mistakes, and then we'll go into each one in a little bit more depth. But just first, what are the 5?
So the number one mistake, which I have made myself, is seeking out a mentor who's really very much like you, whether that's your demographics. So I've often sought out women mentors when I should have been thinking about male mentors, someone with a different educational background, different racial background, someone who can bring a different perspective, or maybe they just have a different temperament than you do, so they're going to have a different approach or reaction to some of the experiences. And that expands also into their experience. So if you came up in your career in a certain path, try to find someone who's got exposure to different kinds of job experiences, different sectors of the industry, different companies, different types of work, so that they're going to bring something to the table that you really can't have had exposure to. So that's a number one mistake, is choosing a mentor just like you or similar to you. Number two is asking for general help. And this is a classic mistake that people make, where they call up someone they admire for coffee, they have a nice coffee, but their questions aren't very targeted. They don't really themselves know what it is that they're hoping to accomplish from this relationship. So this may be a little intimidating at first to say, well, how do I even know what I want from this mentor relationship? So perhaps the first thing you're trying to get is just to narrow and target your focus of where should I be focusing right now in my career? So what should I be looking to grow? And then you can, from there, target your help that you're getting from the mentor much more specifically. So that's the second mistake, is just kind of nebulously looking for general help as opposed to being very focused and intentional about the skills or help or advice or connections that you're trying to get from that specific mentor relationship. The third mentor mistake is wasting your mentor's time. And again, this one came up a lot in my interviews with people who really don't appreciate having someone call them up for lunch to complain about their career and not really take any of the valuable advice that's mm-hmm. being doled out by the mentor. So most of all, if your mentor makes an introduction, follow up on the introduction. If your mentor gives you advice, either take the advice, or perhaps thinking it through, you decide it's not going to work, follow up and let them know, well, this didn't work out for me and here's why, so that you really are respecting the time, attention, and brain power that your mentor is giving you. Number four mistake is to think that it's just a one-way relationship. And this is another way of saying not appreciating your very important role as someone being mentored in the relationship. So that's not just, as I said before, helping to set the agenda and really pointing your mentor to where you need to grow, but also realizing that you bring something to the table as well, whether that's just youthful energy and excitement that helps your mentor remember why they got into this field, or it's that feeling of helping someone, which gives your mentor a, you know, feeling of pleasure and satisfaction. You may also be helping your mentor develop their leadership skills or their coaching skills. So you're not just taking from a mentor relationship. You have a responsibility as well that you're bringing something to the table. You're maybe sharing with that person what you recently learned in your educational experience that may be different than that person had when they were coming through, you know, college or graduate school. Maybe you have more exposure to social media or new technology, but think about ways that you can also contribute to your mentor's understanding of the industry or the company that you work in. And that's a very important one to really recognize it's a two-way relationship. And then the final mistake, the fifth mistake, is forcing the relationship. And this is the one that we also touched on a little bit before, where you just have your heart set on this one very prominent person in your field that you absolutely want to be your mentor, and you're sending them notes and you're asking them for time, and they're too busy, or maybe they just don't click with you. So you have to be able to take the signals or even the outright comments that this person doesn't have time for you or it's not the right fit, and cast a very wide net when you're looking for mentors, so that you don't feel that all your eggs are in one basket. You should be talking to lots of people about who would be a good mentor. These are the kind of things I'm trying to learn. This is the kind of person I am. Do you know anyone who has the interest and time in being a mentor, or who might just have a opportunity to take me out to coffee, or I could take them out to coffee? So really make sure that you're looking for the right relationship and give it time to find the right fit.
There you have it, the five mentor mistakes to avoid that our guest wrote about in her Fortune.com article, Catherine Reynolds Lewis. Now we welcome your questions, we welcome your experiences, we welcome your shout-outs to mentors you have had, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's take a call from Mandy in Madison. Hello, Mandy.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. Did you have a special mentor?
Yes. I just wanted to give a shout-out to my mentors, Shirley Raymaker and Carlene Betchen. Madison Metropolitan School District really do a good job meeting first-year teacher and librarians' needs by giving us a mentor. And Shirley Raymaker has been my mentor for the past year. And she has just been wonderful with ideas and support and her creativity and really sharing her knowledge of the school librarian field with me. And she recently retired a few years ago from an elementary school. So I've just been very, very fortunate and very lucky. And then my other informal mentor, Carlene Betchen, at the middle school that I work at, has been really supportive also just trying to teach us the culture of the school and just how to do the best job that we can do. So I just really appreciate those two people.
That's great. And let me clarify, the first mentor is retired?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I kind of like that, too, that when you retire, you can still be a mentor, Catherine.
Absolutely. We gain so much experience during the course of our career that it doesn't go away. And sometimes being retired may give you a little bit of a perspective that you didn't have when you were right there in the thick of it.
Yeah, and the Madison School District might not be unique. I'm not sure that having a mentorship type program, Catherine.
There are many organizations that do have a mentor program, and more recognize that it's important to give a little bit of a nudge to people who may feel shy about seeking out a mentor. And so these programs can be very valuable. They also shouldn't be the only thing you rely on to find people who can give you insight and help in your career, because there are a lot of very helpful relationships outside of the formal structure. So if you work for an employer that doesn't have a formal mentorship program, do not despair. It can be just as useful. And, one of the nice things about formal mentorship programs is that often they are very structured in terms of how often you meet with your mentor, the types of things you're going to go over. So that does really help both sides to understand the commitment they're getting into. So those can be very successful relationships.
Thank you very much, Mandy, for joining us. Jessica in Fox Point is with us now. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Joy. Good morning. How are you?
Well, I have a scratchy throat, but other than that, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm well. I just got over the same cold, so my apologies.
No, but go ahead. Did you have a mentor experience to share?
I certainly did, and regrettably, she's passed away rather recently, and so my call is to, one, memorialize her, but also to share, something in light of what your guest is saying, in that, you try to find someone who is different than you, and maybe in finding someone who you believe is a lot like you, you learn about how different two people really are and how they can come to the same field or the same circumstances in life. And so in my case, about 15 years ago, when I was still a rather young woman, I met a woman who was not only a lawyer, but had her master's in public health from Johns Hopkins. And so I met her at a time when I was trying to understand or really kind of color in whether or not I wanted to be in science or law, and to find a woman who shared my interest and my desires to pursue both was tremendously meaningful to me. And now I've actually thought to kind of honor her. Maybe I'll go ahead then and get a master's in public health because now I understand the significance after 15 years of working with her.
What a lovely memorial, Jessica. Thank you very much for sharing that. I like that she said she was looking for someone who was like her, but found out that maybe they weren't completely alike, Catherine.
Absolutely. Two people can really be so different. And even if your mentor is very much like you and perhaps has had the same experience, you're going through your careers at different stages. So your industry may have changes. The choices that made sense for your mentor may make a lot of sense for you. Or perhaps the two of you discover together that they are no longer that relevant, and the kinds of things that helped your mentor find success aren't going to be exactly the same that will make you successful.
Yeah. Thanks again, Jessica. We have Teresa in Chippewa Falls, who emails, "My go-to person for advice is my former high school teacher, Vic Cable. I can always count on him to give me a kick in the butt to do what needs to be done, even though I've been out of high school for 8 years now." Well, that's wonderful. What about that? Is a mentor somebody that can give you a kick in the butt?
Absolutely. You should definitely have a mentor who can be brutally honest with you, who can challenge you and help you see your blind spots. So whether that's, saying you really need to go back to school. I interviewed one executive who hadn't actually finished his college degree early in his career, and he was successful and he was working a professional job, and he had a mentor who just would not let up and said, "You need to go back and finish your degree, even though it may be hard when you have a young family." And so not only did he finish his bachelor's, he got an advanced degree, and that really was so responsible for his success later on in his career. If he hadn't taken that step when he could, it wouldn't have laid the foundation for all of his future success. So, yes, as much as it may be painful, we all need mentors to nudge us and challenge us and not let up when we're having trouble taking a step that we really need to take.
Now, you mentioned earlier that everyone could use a mentor. How do we, I guess, how do we pick that mentor? Is it somebody who is doing something in the career that we're interested in?
Well, it really depends on what exactly you want to develop at that stage in your career. So it's worth taking some time to think strategically about where am I now and how do I need to develop? And that may be, okay, very clear, I want this promotion or I want to move to this job. Or it may be, you know, I've really been challenged around presentations and I just don't feel I'm as good of a speaker. And that skill or that area you're trying to develop will point the way to a mentor. So if you're trying to develop your communication skills, find someone who's a fabulous speaker, and that person can really give you insight. Does that make sense? Where you're, you know, the question you're trying to answer for yourself is going to point the way to the right mentor for you at that stage.
It makes perfect sense. And we will continue talking about mentoring after we check the latest news. We are talking about mentoring with Catherine Reynolds Lewis, who has written about this. She is an award-winning journalist who specializes in finance, work, and family. She is the author of a Fortune.com article, 5 Mentor Mistakes to Avoid. And we welcome your questions for her. We welcome your experiences with mentoring or being mentored. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about the importance of mentoring and the do's and don'ts of a successful mentoring relationship. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37. We welcome your questions, your recommendations when it comes to mentoring someone or finding a mentor or getting the most out of your relationship with a mentor. And we also welcome your shout-outs to an important mentor in your life. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Catherine Reynolds Lewis. She is a journalist who specializes in finance, work, and family. She has written for many publications, including The Washington Post, The New York Times, and Money Magazine. She is a contributor at Fortune Magazine and the writer of the recent article, 5 Mentor Mistakes to Avoid for Fortune.com. And let's go right back to the phones. Victor in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Victor.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guest. I'm a mentor in two worlds. I'm a student mentor at Kaplan University. I'm working on my graduate and master's in criminal justice. And I'm a mentor in the U.S. Armed Forces. I'm a chief petty officer, and I mentor to junior sailors below me. One point I like to make is, and your guest touched upon it earlier, that it's good to have a diversified background, different mentors and mentors looking for people with some diversity. The reason I bring that up is that, you know me, I'm a black male, African-American male. There's a tendency of assigning me to somebody black. And I consciously request that, do not assign me someone black. Assign me somebody that's Asian, Latino, Native American, or white. The reason why I make that argument is that it's valuable to have a diversified group to mentor, because you can relate to that person better and you can avoid some of the cultural ethnic minefields that happen, insensitive jokes, insensitive gestures. When you learn from one another, that adds value to their professional background.
Wonderful. Catherine?
I love that you're making that choice, because it's so insightful that not only are you going to learn from a mentor who has a different racial and demographic background, but you're teaching that person something. And so it's a wonderful way to enhance your whole organization by having those mentor relationships across different typical boundaries. And in my reporting for this story, I spoke with someone who said, look, the African-American women who are at the top of, you know, the Fortune 500 companies have so many requests for mentor relationships because they are so visible as, you know, breaking barriers. And so often those people aren't even going to have as much time for you than the white male who may love to mentor a young Asian woman or African-American man who has a very different, perhaps, outward appearance, but someone who can really help you grow and really in both directions. So what a wonderful point. Thanks for making that.
Thanks a lot, Victor. Let's go next to Joan in Williams Bay. Hi, Joan.
Hi, good morning. I would like to ask Ms. Lewis if she mentions any boundaries to mentorship in her book or article, and also, is that a recent article?
It is a recent article, Joan, but what do you mean by, like, boundaries in terms of the boundaries you should set as someone who is a mentor or someone who is being mentored?
Yeah, in your mentoring, do you observe boundaries? In other words, do they, so they don't cross over into other disciplines, or is it just free to you know, discuss any subject as and to what any depth that the
Let me just ask. I mean, if we say setting boundaries, should you set boundaries when it comes to either being a mentor or being mentored?
Well, I certainly think it's very important to set a set of common expectations for what exactly it is you're going to be discussing or working on. So certainly one boundary that many mentor relationships rely on is the professional versus private. So maybe you learn about choices that your mentee is making in their private relationship. That would be a boundary that most mentors don't really cross, where they're going to give personal advice. You know, they're going to focus much more on the professional. So, but it really just depends on the situation. You may be looking for help on a very specific, targeted question, in which case the boundaries are very clear and narrow. Or you may be looking for someone to help you really sort out the direction of your career and chart a longer path, in which case the boundaries might go not just on where you're going to go in that company, but more broadly, you know, what your next two or three career moves might be. So, yes, there should absolutely be boundaries. They should be common, that the mentee and the mentor both agree so that both are comfortable with where their conversation is going to head.
Can a mentor be your good friend that you, well, you know, go out for a happy hour or two and that sort of thing?
Well, absolutely. I hope most mentor relationships mm-hmm. are also rewarding personally and friendly. And, you know, you don't need to have a mentor who's older than you. You can have a mentor who is younger or the same age and brings a lot to the table as well. So certainly friendships are develop out of mentorships. And, of course, we want to keep them professional. So go out for happy hour, but maybe stop after one drink.
We did find five mentor mistakes to avoid on Fortune.com. I think it was dated May 2nd. There was a problem with the link that we just discovered over the weekend and this morning. And Christy Taylor, my director, has found a working copy of that article, and we'll post it on the Joy Cardine Show page so you can read that article. Here's one for you, too, Catherine. Let me give a little bit of background. My husband, Rob Starbuck, he retired on Friday, so it was a big extravaganza, and we had a wonderful time. He was an anchor at a local TV station here in Madison. Thanks, by the way, to John Munson for filling in for me on Friday so I could attend this gala. But in any case, I bring this up primarily because I considered my husband a mentor. And it was not just as a journalist, but it was more the way he didn't throw his ego around, the way he treated people, the way he complimented the work of everybody on his morning crew for the show that they did. And it just was he had characteristics that I admired and I tried to emulate. Can your husband be your mentor?
Oh, absolutely. I hope we learn a lot from our spouses, and what a wonderful tribute. And congratulations to him for retiring.
He might be listening right now. He never had the chance to before.
That's great. I certainly rely on my husband for career advice, and he on with me, even though we're in very different fields, which sometimes can be a benefit where you may see your blind spot that your spouse doesn't. So yes, you know, there's a lot of what they call cross-mentoring relationships where you help each other, you know, because you both care about each other in the relationship, whether it's a marriage or even just a close friendship. And you can really, you know, knowing the person so well personally also helps you to understand how they might be functioning in the workplace that could be hindering their progress.
Yeah, we and I'll give a shout out for Christy Taylor, my director, who wants to give a shout out to Cynthia Schuster, who is our fill-in host producer here at Wisconsin Public Radio. She used to work on this show, and when Christy started working for the show, Cynthia helped her get acclimated and helped help trained her when she got started last year. Though she does say that she thinks she and Cynthia are very much alike, so wondered if she made one of the five mentor mistakes to avoid. You can be alike and still get something out of a relationship, or should Christy find a different mentor?
No, I don't think Christy should give up that wonderful mentor relationship. I'm not trying to say that you can't have a mentor who's like you, but if your mentor is very much like you, you may want to seek out other people, maybe not a formal mentor relationship, but at least for input, because you do need lots of different perspectives on the decisions you're making in your career and just for feedback on how you come off professionally and what are the choices you're making and where are your blind spots. So you know, don't give up the mentor who's been so wonderful and helpful. But maybe seek out and supplement that person with deliberately picking people who are different from you, who are going to have a different perspective. And that can be even so much as personality. I've always gravitated towards mentor who have a similar sort of personality or approach, whereas the people who are maybe more aggressive or hard-driving were intimidating to me. So I've had to really push myself to seek out people who have a different temperament.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to name names because I might be bringing up something slightly critical, where somebody in my career helped me a great deal, and I did receive a lot of mentoring from this particular individual, but this individual had a reputation as really being kind of a tough person, a very had super high standards and rubbed people the wrong way sometimes. And not everybody was in love with this person. And, you know, I guess I didn't copy that particular temperament, or I didn't use that person's advice when it came to perhaps, disciplining, people who worked for you and that kind of thing. I mean, you can have a mentor who has a lot of great qualities, but maybe you overlook something else.
Absolutely. And that's why it really helps, again, to have a very targeted goal of what it is you're trying to get from this person, because that'll help you to pick and choose, as it sounds like you did, the advice that is going to be relevant and useful for you, and the perhaps piece of advice or the perspective that you want to avoid because you don't want to make the same kinds of mistakes or to develop the reputation that your mentor has. So just as none of us is perfect and has every single piece of the package that we would want, your mentor can't possibly be 100% perfect either.
Is there a time, how do we know when there is, if there is a time to end a mentorship relationship?
That's a great question, and it's interesting that a lot of the formal structured mentor programs have very specific start and end dates, because you don't want to linger on and to abuse that person's time. And for the formal part of a mentor relationship, because you're going to have a targeted goal, I want to improve my presentation skills, and you know you're going to at least in your own head set up a time frame for that. Then at the end of that time frame, the mentor relationship doesn't necessarily end, but you're not as in frequent contact, you're not necessarily working on that goal, and so the relationship may taper. So you don't break up with a mentor, but perhaps you're not seeking them out as actively when they're in a more of the passive stage of the relationship, and that primary goal has been reached. And then maybe your next goal, you have a need for a different kind of mentor, someone with a different perspective or experience. So then you sort of, that relationship becomes a little more active and becomes the more dominant mentor relationship for you.
Stacy on Facebook says, congratulations to the outstanding young mentors who are just completing their year of service with City Year, Milwaukee. Serving the Milwaukee Public Schools, their work has a lifelong impact on their own lives and those of the children they serve. Thank you very much, Stacy, for that shout out. Well, in our final minute, Catherine, is there anything you want to leave us with? Something maybe we can do right now, today, to improve our mentor relationships?
Well, one thing I mentioned before, my parents were very important mentors to me, but I forgot to mention their names, Bruce and Yuxon Reynolds, and I think they're listening in West Bend, so hi, Mom and Dad. And then for taking action, sit down and write a list of the areas in which you'd like to develop, and whether that's to get the next promotion or to change jobs, and think about the skills and also the experiences you want to have. Prioritize that list, and then that will point you to the mentor who's right for you, the person who can really help you to develop in the way that you need to right now.
That's wonderful, and it's so nice to know that you have a Wisconsin connection.
Absolutely.
And this was very interesting, and I hope that we can have you back sometime. Thanks very much, Catherine.
I'd be happy to. Thanks for having me.
Catherine Reynolds-Lewis is a journalist who specializes in finance, work, and family. She is a contributor for Fortune magazine and the writer of the Fortune.com article, 5 Mentor Mistakes to Avoid. Thanks to Justin Williams, the producer of this program. Thanks to Robin Cherry, our on-air producer, and to Christy Taylor, our on-air director. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.